Well, it's good to be back to the States. Can everyone hear in the back for the time? Okay. Ronnie? I usually don't have much trouble. The Lord bless me for the sin alone. So we don't go all over the map. I have some notes. You'll have to forgive me for that. We've been away for, well, September 11th would be 2 years, so we're just short of 2 years that we've been away. A lot's happened in 2 years, and it's hard to just come in and just take a half an hour, 45 minutes, and just bring everything together and just tell you what we've been through and what the Lord's shown us to do ahead. So we just ask that you would just pray with me now as we would ask the Lord to just take this time and use it to glorify Him. Father, we just thank Thee for bringing us back here again. We thank You, Father, for the welcome of our home church. We thank You, Father, for our pastor and the deacons and the different family members here today, Father. It's been a great blessing representing Emmanuel Baptist Church, and we look forward to continuing this, and we just praise You for the vision that You've given us jointly as a church, Father, as what a church should be, and we just praise You and pray that You be glorified in this message. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, it's proper to say thank you and thank you again. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your financial support, which is a sacrifice. I know how tough things are. And I just thank God that the Lord has used the church and other people that He's raised up. Brother Langley has been a good friend to us, too. And he's a near kinsman. And we thank God for him and some folks that we know up in New Jersey that have been helpful to us. And we thank the Lord also for the people the Lord put us in touch with. And more recently, the people that are very special to us are Pastor Raul. Brother Oscar, I would say Brother Oscar is an evangelist. He's also a Sunday school teacher. Brother Israel, who was the postmaster down there and the most cooperative postmaster I've ever met in my life. The Lord used him to give us more leads, more openings to preach than we ever could imagine. We got into the prison through his introduction into an alcohol rehab. And then once we got into the prison, Brother Luis, he was a friend of Robert, and he was really hungry to grow, and we thank God for him because he helped make us feel welcome in the prison. And I want to thank God for these people. As we thank the Lord for the people the Lord used, let it be an encouragement as we press ahead. We also met a man, he's not yet converted, but I believe he's going to get converted. His name is Angelo DePani. He's a Honduranian, and the name is an Italian name. He's a Sicilian descent. For some reason, a Sicilian ended up in Honduras, I don't know, but he's a descendant of a Sicilian in Honduras, and he was our mechanic. And I thank God for him. The Lord used him, and our vehicle got all the way back from Honduras with only problems from the fuel, which was nothing that we could determine. You know, every time you fill up, it's a surprise. And I thank God for that. Now, we're seeking God's agenda, and we're seeking God's agenda with those folks we left behind. As we spoke through Pastor, he mentioned Chapel Library, and the Lord used not only the church here for prayers and financial, but he used Chapel Library, and they sent us quite a bit of material. And then we also used a Bible. We call it the Gomez Bible. It's a Reina and Valera Spanish Bible, and they say they've taken the 1909 version and they've made it more conformable to the authorized version. And basically what we're saying is Sola Dio Gloria. We're saying we wanted to give out the Bible that glorified God the most. We use the authorized version here, and when you really get down to it, it's because it glorifies God more than anything else. And then we, through this pastor who spent a lot of time going over this version, they have printed this Bible, and it's available through several different sources. Victory Baptist down in Milton, Florida, made it available to us. We had to buy them, but we gave these Bibles out to a lot of people, and I thank God for that. It's very important that they have the Word of God. They don't use a Bible. You wouldn't want to use their Bible down there. They use a modern Bible. They don't know any better, And even the independent Baptists, a lot of them use it. A lot of them are not satisfied with this new Gomez Bible. And you give them the Gomez Bible and they still don't want to use it. But it's between them and God, because if you want to do some Bible study, it really helps a lot. We preached out of it. We used it. We preached out of it. And we tried to get people to use it. And may God be blessed that more people would understand the benefit that it has. And, you know, we left it behind and we're thankful for that. But we went there to preach the gospel and to teach. And we used these sources, Mount Zion and the Gomez Bible, and we're thankful for them. And we're back a little early. And some of you may be a little surprised we're back early. The government did change some of the requirements to get the visas renewed, which would be even more expensive than it has been. Every 90 days we had to leave the country, and we couldn't just go to the next country. We had to go to either Mexico or Costa Rica, and that got to be pretty expensive. And now they require that you not only leave the country, but you stay away for a few days. And it got to be pretty expensive. So the Lord just gave us peace about coming back a little bit earlier. We had a pretty good idea of what we were going to do, so we came back. Now, one of the main reasons we came back is because on Robert's birthday, I gave him Isaiah 58 as a birthday present. It's always good to give somebody a chapter out of Scripture for a birthday present, and they can read that over and study it and meditate on it. And the Lord really touched his heart, and he confessed to us that he had been praying about the property that we have down in Belgrade, the farm that we have down there. Most of y'all have seen it, but some of you haven't. My wife and I purchased a farm down in Belgrade 10 years ago, and Heidi and Lee lived there, and Beck has lived there, and Grace has lived there. And it's a good-sized piece of property, and a lot could be done with it. It could be used for a camp or a lot of different things. And we were praying about it, and Robert specifically was praying every day that the Lord would be able to use it. And he told us that he had been doing that. And he's been recently saved. He'll be baptized today, Lord willing. Robert wanted to come back and be under the teaching of the Bible Institute, and he's very concerned about getting ready to preach. He wants to preach to his people here in America. So we're wanting to cooperate with him. We're thankful for the ministry down there, and I believe that the time was used well. We left materials in the hands of good people. We'll pray for them, and at some point we'll go back and visit them. Jennifer is glad to be back here. She was homesick. She has trouble with the Spanish language. She and Ben were pretty much home buddies. Once in a while we would go shopping. And they were really glad to be back, and they're thankful to be here, and maybe a double measure. And it's good to get Ben back here because we'd like to see him learn more about gardening and some things that will help him as a young man develop, things that he can do here in the States because this is his home, and English is his best language to communicate with. If you know Ben, you understand me. Now, Susan, she loves the mission field, and she wishes she was still on the mission field sometimes. But she's too young to leave behind, so we had to make a decision, and we came back, and we're here today. We're thankful for the opportunities that we had when we were down there, because I believe it's helping us getting ready for what we're going to do. When we left, we were telling you all about the clinic, and we worked in the clinic for 10 months in Santa Rosa de Copan. And the man that ran the camp there, Brother Ronnie, said that the Lord used the first man that was down there, who stayed about 10 months also, to get the thing off the ground, to get it started, to put the vision there, to get it so that it would become a reality. And then he said to us, he said, I believe the Lord raised you up to come down here and get it organized. We went down there, and there was, I don't know how many rooms in it. It was big. It was 5,000 square feet, and we were able to take the rooms and make each room have a purpose. And we had sometimes as many as 50 people a day. And it was a good ministry. It's a wonderful ministry. But it was time for us to make a decision because their goals and our goals were not the same. We could spend probably a week discussing all that. But some of the things that that you have to watch when you get into a ministry is that you don't get yourself in trouble with the law. And in this country, we couldn't have done even a fraction of what we were doing down there. They gave us a lot of leeway down there. We worked with a doctor. He helped us, but he wasn't available all the time. And the people were hoping that we would be giving them antibiotics pretty freely. And there was a lot of promises made that we would be providing medical attention. And it was in a way to get people to come to the ministry, come to the church and hear the preaching. After a while, we recognized it was getting to be a bit more than we wanted to continue with on a long range basis. So we had to make some decisions. If you can understand, you use a ministry to glorify God. You don't use a ministry to coax people to make a decision. It's not going to last. It's just like the salesman comes to your house and he sells you something. We bought a membership in this food discount club over in Huntsville, and it cost us a lot of money. And we got into this room, and it's like, tonight, only tonight. And if you don't make that decision, you won't get that discount. This kind of stuff is throughout Christianity. And when you see it coming in, the first time you plant the grass, you see grass coming up. But when you see the weeds coming up, and there's more weeds than there are grass, you have to make a decision. And we had to make a decision. And it's between them and the Lord, but we had to pull out. It's not our ministry. And what we do here in this church, I know our pastors had to make some stands about some of the things that would be provided for young people to entertain them or just to get them to come out. The Word of God should be enough. Giving out the gospel should be enough. Just plain preaching should be enough. When you get beyond that, you get in the danger zone. And we were seeing people making these gimmick ministries more important than preaching the gospel. The gospel was important, but it was just so confusing that we had to get out of the confusion before there was any other problems. So the Lord blessed us, and He showed us a town about 5 hours away. It's called Tela. Now, Tela's on the north coast. It's a combination of New Orleans and Atlantic City before the gambling came. Atlantic City up in New Jersey used to be a blighted city on the seacoast with boardwalks, and it was all run down. Now, Tela is nowhere at all like Santa Rosa. Santa Rosa's up in the mountains. Tela's on the coast. And we wanted to get away from that same sphere of influence. The Lord had brought us down to Honduras for a reason. I believe He taught us what we needed to learn in Santa Rosa. We made the contribution that the Lord would have us to make. We helped organize the clinic. But then it was time to redeem the time. So we had this opportunity to go to Tela. We rented a house there. We went to one house first, and they went to another one. The first house was too small for us, basically, and there was not enough security there. We could not leave the house unattended. We had to hire somebody with a shotgun to sit on the porch when we went away to renew our visas one time. And we had to pay him to watch it for 4 days. So it wasn't practical for us to stay there. So we moved down the road to a place where there was security. And we stayed there for about 9 months. And it was a good place to work out of. And from there, we were able to get into the jails and get into the rehab and be able to do the ministry. And we could leave and come back and not be broken into. So we were able to do that, and the Lord blessed us, and we were able to minister in that community. And that community became blighted. It used to be a prosperous community. It was the banana capital of Central America. And through many problems, the different companies have moved their banana interests to other countries, even to South America. So that was a hurting place. There's a lot of criminals there, a lot of people with drug addiction, and there's a tremendous need for evangelism there. There are a lot of churches there, but most of the churches are charismatic. They have the real peppy music. They have an hour of nonstop music and maybe an hour and a half of nonstop music. And then 15, 20, half an hour of preaching. But they're so geared to what they call worship that the preaching of the Word of God is so secondary. And we want it to be able to be a voice for the balance that is needed. And the Lord was very good to us. We met Brother Oscar because we needed to go and get our hair cut. We had gone to one barbershop that was real worldly. And if you know barbershops, they can be bad. They can be a bad influence on your kids. They can defile your children. Well, we were going to one that was like that, and I didn't know where else to go. And then we asked around, and we found out about this Christian that had a barbershop. And I went, and I found Brother Oscar. He was a different person than the man was pointing us to. The man was pointing us to a Church of Christ barbershop, and we ended up going to a man that had gone to a Reformed Baptist Seminary barbershop. And we had a bond with him right away. We were able to talk to him about some of the same things the Lord had been showing us. And we had some very good tracts that we got from Mount Zion that we wanted to have translated into Spanish. And Robert was doing a really good job, but we needed somebody to proofread them. And we gave them to Brother Oscar. And he proofread them very quickly. We had given them to Brother Israel a proofread, but he would never get any of them done. But we gave them to Brother Oscar, who had an ability to go over material and proofread it for us. So we were blessed with one man who could introduce us to a lot of people, who was Brother Israel, and then another man, Brother Oscar, who the Lord used, who was gifted to help proofread. So we had two good men helping us. And then, of course, we talked about the mechanic, and I don't believe he's saved yet. But the Lord gave us some really good people. Now, Brother Israel was excited about the gospel tracts and the Bibles, and he'll be giving those out. That was Brother Israel. Now, Brother Oscar, he wants a big supply in his barbershop of gospel tracts that he gives them out. He has a lot of Christians that come in his barbershop, and it's continuously busy. He has people that drop in on and visit them all the time. He's got different pastors that he knows. They come in there for haircuts. He has a tremendous sphere of influence, and he is the one that we're going to have a continuous supply of tracts to, and he's been a real blessing to us. He's done some very fine preaching. We went over to Pastor Raul, and I preached there one time. Robert preached, and then we got Brother Oscar to come down there, and he preached. And Brother Raul, who is very much like we are, but they're different down there than we are up here. You're talking about these people are Latin American, and then they're Christians. We're North American, and then we're Christians. You know, we'd like to say we're Christians, and then we're North Americans. But we got so much of us is North American. If you understand what I'm saying, our language, our habits, the way we eat, the way we dress, the way we live, our attitudes, that's the way they are. The music we like, they don't have country music down there. They don't have, they have their Latin music, that Caribbean culture. But we did have a lot of common ground with him. And now, the unusual thing is, I'm going to go bring you back to Mr. DePonte. He's a Sicilian. He's an Italian. He's a European. He understands the music problem because of his European. May God do more. He was very receptive to the gospel. We gave him a Gomez Bible, and it was small print. He really loved it. He was reading it. He was telling everybody about the Bible. And just really growing. And then we got another supply in larger print. And he was even more excited. We gave him a new Bible. And the Lord's really using it. He appreciates good music and is so important in the worshiping of the Lord. He has all the operas and all the, all that classical music. And we gave him some other classical music to kind of encourage him. And that is so good. And I was so thankful for that. And maybe the Lord would be able to do more with that, and at some point we'd like to go back and just see what he has done, but we need to pray more and just see what he would do. All these people know each other, so we'll let the Lord work it out. Now, I want to shift and talk about what we're going to do here. Now, we preached in the jail, and then we eventually got into a drug rehab. And it was very good to do that because the Lord was getting us ready for coming back here. There are a lot of children that we're finding out that don't have a home because their parents have some bad problems, alcohol and drugs. I know some of y'all work with it every day. And I'm a novice when I talk about it. But I know it's a growing problem. I was in the reserve deputy program for a while down in Franklin County, and I know it's pretty rampant. I know they had some pretty extensive drug problems down there, and that was 8-10 years ago, and I know it's not getting any worse. A lot of people are out of work, and they think that they can make a living in the drug business, and it's not good. And what happens is these parents, they get in trouble, and the kids get put up in the foster care program, and we're interested in this foster care program. We'd like to provide a home at our home for these children that are displaced. And from what I understand, there are sometimes situations where there are multiple children. There may be 4, 5, or 6 children. So it's a vast ministry. What we'd like to do is, in our house right now, we want to finish off the upstairs. It's a pretty good size upstairs. And we could put a lot of kids up there, you know, quite a few. If it was a family, we could put several of them up there in the same family. But we want to get our home so we could use it for a ministry. And we'd also like to have it Christian education there on the property. And then we want to build a all-purpose building. And what we're wanting to do now is finish the house off. And it needs, I've got to do the floors upstairs. We've got to insulate it. I've got to put some kind of a heating and cooling system. And Lord willing, you know, it's going to happen. We're doing it. We worked last week. We found out about a lady in Russellville that had a brick wall that she wanted to knock down. And I knew the lady, and she was real friendly to us. And we went over, took about 4 trips to her house, and we knocked down this brick wall. And we're going to use these bricks over again. We have knocked houses down before, and we've used the building materials from them. You have to watch when you do it. You don't want a bunch of bugs and stuff. I don't have to worry about the bank. I don't have a problem with the bank. I know sometimes when people build buildings, they have to have everything approved by all that. But I'm out there in rural property, and I don't have that problem. So I can tear houses down, and I can build houses out of old materials. So I'm looking to do that too. And then as the Lord works it out, we'll get this project going. Now, I have some notes here I want to go over. We want to have a greenhouse. People like Ben especially need to learn how to do that kind of thing. He is good at being outside, and he likes to do stuff outside. He likes to take a stick and swing it around like a sickle. He's telling me with that body language that he wants to do something agricultural, right, Ben? So, and then we can change the motion to a hoe, and then a shovel. And think these kids in the foster care program, I can imagine probably most of them have lived in front of a television set or a computer or rock music and all that. It's going to change when they come out there. We're going to change that for them. If they can't handle it, they can't abide by the rules, they can't stay. But we want to have an atmosphere out there, and it's going to be an atmosphere that will glorify God. They're going to want to help me build. Brother David, you've expressed your interest in coming down there. You may have a chance to help teach people some of your skills. Brother Ronnie, I don't know when you can come. I know you want to come. And then in the house, there's cooking. There's a lot of people that don't know how to cook. Teach them how to read your cookbook, Brother Deborah. And electric and housekeeping. A lot of young ladies don't know how to keep a house. Just things that we automatically take for granted. With parents like this that are into drugs, you know that they come from homes that have never had a deep cleaning. They probably had a visit every once in a while up the main traffic areas of a vacuum cleaner, but my wife, she knows how to clean. She has roots from Pennsylvania. And the Pennsylvania people, they're the cleanest people, right? Even cleaner than West Virginia? You think? I'm a little prejudiced. But, you know, those Pennsylvania Dutch, they're pretty clean. My wife can teach that. She's good at that. There's a lot of things. But we ask that you would pray for us. We're going to be going to the state and asking them to probably take a preliminary look at the property. We have had licenses before in New Jersey. We've done this. We've done it in Florida. And it's a good ministry. From what we understand, the state is a little more receptive than they used to be to Christian principles. We have to use the rod. If I can't use the rod, I can't do it. So whoever I have in there, they've got to abide by the principles of the Word of God. Without the rod, God's not there. So he's not enforced anyway. So we want to do something, Lord willing, that would glorify the Lord His way and in His timing. We are working on it now. The only delay I'm going to have is my mother's 85th birthday, which is the middle of June. I'm going to go up to New Jersey. I'm her only son. I need to spend about a week with her. But we're working on the project right now, and we're doing things to get it going. So it's not pie in the sky. I am interested in, you know, a lot of other ministries. You know, I wrote a letter and it kind of scared some of y'all. But where we can't go and we can't go, we just want to encourage some of y'all to pray about some of these things. Tract ministries are really good. You can leave tracts on some of these booklets. You can leave them in the nursing homes. You can stop by the jail. Just leave them there for people to read. You don't have to stay there for 2 or 3 hours. When you go from here to there, there might be a place you can stop and leave some literature and encourage people. I can't go to all the places you can go, but I'm interested in that kind of thing. That's important to me. And we're going to have kids with us in our home. I'd like to see somebody, if I can't go, I'd like to see somebody go to the jail where their parents are and preach to them. I'd like to see the whole thing come together. I can't do it all. I'd like to. Brother Michael, you're like that too. You'd like to do it. You can't do it. So somebody might be gifted in being able to get into that jail because they're a little bit closer than I am. And they know some people in that jail and get in there. So I'd like to see all this work together and not just be Robert and myself. Robert's been a great helper to me, and he's grown a lot. I thank God for what he's doing. And Susan, they have done really great with music. They have translated a lot of the better songs in our hymnal into Spanish and given them to Brother Oscar, and he's translated them into Spanish. They've done a lot. They're interested in doing right, and we're interested in doing things the way we're doing them here at Emmanuel. This is the thing. Brother Michael and I, we met, I don't know, was it about 8 years ago? Was it 8 or 9 years ago? And I said a few things to him, and we still recall the conversation. And we've been bound together ever since because the Lord has shown us the same vision. And Brother Langley, he's sort of like, he was kind of like in between the whole thing, and he's been a friend to both of us. And we're really thankful for these special friends. And we're thankful for Brother Osteen, too. He's a soldier for the Authorized Version, and we're thankful for him. We're just thankful for so many of y'all. You're real special to us, and we're really glad to see what's going on here. I hope that you're able to stay with me when I went through all this. It's not easy to take this amount of time and try to condense it all down, but I think you got an idea what we want to do. We'd like to see this farm continue on after we're gone. I'm going to have to do some legal things where, you know, like you have the Bill Rice Ranch up there. I'd like to see it go beyond our lifetime if the Lord tarries. I'd like to see it go beyond. I'd like to see it protected. I don't know how to do all that. I don't know the right lawyers to talk to. I know a lot of lawyers, but I don't know the right ones. I don't know if I know them or not. But I'd like to see the property continue in the ministry, not be a hobby or anything, but be really something significant. Even going one step beyond that, I'm interested in missions. I haven't, you know, given up on Honduras, but I don't have just so many years in my life left. My wife has just so many years left in her life, and we need to redeem the time. We'd like to encourage people for missions. We're not against missions or anything like that just because we came back early.
Robert, he wants to go back and visit, but he feels that he's called to his people here. If any of y'all are interested in missions, please talk to me, because we can spend a lot of time talking about it and what you can, you know, what can happen with missions and what you can expect. It's a wonderful thing to do. We're always reading and trying to learn more about the countries we went to, and that's not an easy thing to do. But we're trying to learn more, and we're trying to learn. And if there's anything you want to tell us that you might be able to help us with, or any way you want to contribute, I don't mean like that, but anything that you want to tell us that might help us or warn us about anything, please tell us. We'll be thankful for that. Please pray, and may God be glorified. Lord, I just thank you that we're able to take a few minutes here and talk about what's going on. Lord, I hope folks understood, and I know sometimes I'm hard to follow, but may the things stick with them, Father, that are important, and help us to go ahead, Father, and that you would be glorified. We just thank thee in Jesus' name.